Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. All of the action is on Capitol Hill. All eyes on the reconciliation process. It's moving along. A big step last week. Scott Parkinson's going to explain it for us. Scott, good to have you here.
Great to be back, Loman. Thank you.
What was the major development that has occurred within the last few days?
Well, late last week, the House of Representatives held a negotiation with Speaker Mike Johnson and Senate Majority Leader John Thune. And really, these House conservatives were looking for a commitment and a promise from the leadership to do everything possible and make sure that the big, beautiful one bill, reconciliation bill that President Trump wants on his desk in the coming months includes some fiscal restraint at minimum of $1.5 trillion in spending cuts. And this negotiation was prolonged because the Senate budget resolution basically provided for reconciliation instructions, if you think about like the contours of what a bill can and cannot include. And they said that at a minimum, it should include $4 billion. Well, that's a big difference between $1.5 trillion and $4 billion. And so these House Republicans were really concerned that they were not going to get the fiscal cuts. They got a negotiation that resulted in John Thune and Mike Johnson holding a joint press conference, committing to doing everything possible to get that spending reduction into law. And ultimately, that resulted in the House passing the Senate resolution and having the votes to really move forward with the reconciliation legislation, because you need a concurrent budget resolution to move forward, which means the same budget has to pass the House and Senate. So we've got that now, and that means that the real negotiations for the tax bill can begin.
Now that we're at this stage in the process, Scott, with negotiations underway, what happens from here? What is the timing? What are the next steps in the process?
I think over the next couple of weeks, you'll see the committees getting together, not just the Ways and Means Committee and the Senate Finance Committee, but other committees that are instructed to cut spending will get together as well. And they will come to an agreement on what they think they can achieve through committee. There will be additional working groups, conference meetings where the Republicans will see if they have consensus for the various proposals. But what's important here, I think, to understand is, you know, you have promises that Republicans have included in the party platform. You've got promises that President Trump included in his 2024 campaign. And then you've also got, I think, priorities of various groups like the Club for Growth and what we would like to see included. You know, I'm confident that we've got the momentum right now to build a big, beautiful bill that will make a big difference when it comes to economic growth, when it comes to fiscal restraint, and when it comes to really fulfilling those campaign promises that built the majorities we have in the House, Senate, and winning the White House.
Republicans, of course, are wanting to make sure that we preserve the tax cuts from the first Trump administration. But Scott, over the last week or so, the idea has arisen of possibly raising the highest marginal tax rate. Is that idea under serious consideration here?
Well, listen, I think that it's been reported that there was a Senate conference meeting where the option was put on the table. And members talked about it, and of course that leaked to the media, and the media has run with it because it's a very divisive issue between Republicans that do not want to see any rate increase on individuals, and others that are looking for sort of you know, options to be on the table to do other things. And you know, from Club for Growth's perspective, keeping the top rate at 37% is a red line. We've communicated this publicly, and Club would issue a key vote alert to members of Congress which opposed any legislation that attempted to increase the top individual marginal rate by any amount, to be honest. So we feel like that's going to stay at 37%, and now it's time to move on to these other important policies. We want to see, you know, indexing of capital gains for inflation. We want to see neutral cost recovery, which would allow for accelerated expensing of structures through neutral cost recovery and and 100% of R&D. The club wants to see the repeal of all tax provisions from the Inflation Reduction Act. You remember when Biden did those clean energy tax credits that cost us $880 billion? We want to get rid of those. We want to get rid of the 1% tax on stock buybacks. We want to get rid of the 15% minimum tax on corporate book income. And, you know, we also want to see things like, you know, ultimately it's a club position for the last 25 years to abolish the death tax, the estate tax, oppose expanding refundable tax credits. Various things like that, I think, need to be talked about. You know, if listeners want to call their member of Congress and really, you know, weigh in on what's important to them when it comes to tax policy, extending and expanding the Trump 2017 tax cuts is the game in town right now in Washington, D.C. And this is going to be a game that we play over the next 6 to 12 weeks at minimum.
How important is it, Scott, that Congress get this done? Is this going to be a make or break for the second Trump administration, getting this actually over the finish line?
Well, the budget resolution itself would provide for the ability to increase the debt limit by, I think, $5 trillion is what made it into the Senate resolution. And that sounds like an outrageous amount to anybody that cares about our debt and deficit situation. That's why the fiscal hawks want to see deficit reduction included in this bill. But what that means by including the debt limit in the reconciliation instructions, it means that we're looking at trying to get this bill done by the middle of June, because that's when Treasury believes that they will exhaust the ability to take on extraordinary measures where they sell off various assets and delay various payments in order to avoid a default on our debt obligations. We've also got, you know, tax day happened this week, so revenues might come in a little higher, which could push that so-called X date back. And, you know, President Trump is out there, I think, leading on this issue. And so we're going to be watching really closely from the club's offices in Washington to make sure that our 525,000 members from all 50 states are represented in this fight.
Certainly a lot of moving parts here, and we are going to keep very close tabs on this over the next few weeks with Scott Parkinson from the Club for Growth. You did tell us a bit about the club, but tell us a bit more, Scott. Also, where can folks find you on the web?
The club is united in this idea of economic freedom, liberty, and opportunity. Listeners can check us out at clubforgrowth.org, and you can actually sign up to become a member for free.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.